So glad that you're here this morning. This is week two in our new message series that I've been calling What's God's Plan? And to catch you up to date, if you haven't been with us for a while, or if you're joining us for the first time this morning, we took a survey of our church family early in the summer, and we asked people if you could ask God any kind of a question that you wanted to, what question would you ask if he was going to answer you? And the number one question that people were asking in our church family is, how can I find out what God's plan for my life is? And so last week we started talking about God's plan, and we talked about the different boundaries that God puts in our lives. His providential will, which is those things that he does that nobody can control. It's just God's decision. We talked about the moral boundary, his moral will, which is revealed in the Bible. And then we talked about that sweet spot of trying to find to be just right in the perfect will of God, his personal will. So we talked about that last week. If you missed that message, it is on our podcast that you can access through our webpage, and so you can catch up. Today we're going to be talking about common mistakes that a lot of people make. Over the years of my ministry and helping people find God's plan for their lives, I found that there's a number of mistakes that people make when they're trying to figure this all out. And so together, we're going to learn some principles for how we can find that sweet spot. I think the sweet spot was over here, wasn't it, last week?
Yes.
All right. And on our Sunday night service last week, little Ty Carr, I don't see Ty this morning. Is Ty with us? Where is she at?
She's helping in the nursery.
Oh, she's helping in the nursery. Ty's what, 5 years old? She was, I drew those boundary lines with that blue tape, and Ty was outside of the will of God, and she was mad that she was... She was not a happy girl. So for those of you that were outside of the will of God last week, I'm sorry. But we are trying to find the sweet spot. Lots of ways that people try to find the will of God. All kinds of different ways. And I brought a tool this morning that I thought might help us out, quite possibly could help us out. And I just need a volunteer that you're trying to make a decision and find God's will for something specific in your life. Just need one brave volunteer who... Who would that person be? Jibber. All right, Jibber, come on up. Jibber, what are you trying to decide? What are you looking for in God's will today? What's your question?
Don't know.
Oh, well, that's what I'm looking for in a volunteer. Now, you've been dating Bill how long?
Over 2 months.
2 months. All right, so... So maybe you need some wisdom with Bill. Like, should I take this relationship to the next level?
Yeah.
Would that be a good question?
Yeah.
Or should I kick him to the curb?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I brought some fortune cookies with me this morning, and let's see if you can find God's will with a fortune cookie. Now choose very carefully. This could be God's will. All right, are you sure that's the one you want?
No.
Okay. All right, that one looks good. Nicely browned. Okay, break it open and let's see what God's will for you is.
Oh, it broke.
Oh, it broke.
It's because it's sticking to it.
Oh, okay. Cheaply made. What's it say?
You should get a dog.
Oh. Well, there you go. There you go. Sorry about that, Bill. That's a bummer. Jibber's getting a dog. Bill's going to be lonely. A lot of times when we're trying to find God's plan for our lives, we do crazy things like this, don't we? And we just resort to random things, you know? Shoni's put a question on the Connect Church Facebook page that you might want to just weigh in on, and we're asking you this morning, what kinds of things do you do to try to find God's will? One of the ones that's not quite as crazy as fortune cookies, but something that I hear people doing all the time is playing, I call it Bible roulette, and maybe you've done this, all right? And Bible roulette is when you just take your Bible and you just randomly open it up to whatever verse, point at it and you say, that's what God's will is for me. So I just picked any old verse. It says this, but one of the men saw him and said, your father made the army take a strict oath that anyone who eats food today will be cursed. So it must be God's will for me to go on a diet, you know? Probably is, but that's beside the point. Let's try this again. Didn't like that God's will for my life, really. Okay, this one says, Elijah called to the people, come over here, and they all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. And he took 12 stones, one to represent each of the tribes of Israel, and he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. And then he dug a trench around the altar. I'm reading because I don't know where to go with this. He dug a trench around the altar. So maybe we just need to dig a trench around this building. You know, so anybody got heavy equipment so you can serve the will of the Lord this morning? You know, there's an old story that says somebody was playing Bible roulette and he opened his Bible and he found the verse that said Judas hanged himself. And then they did it again and found the verse that says, now go and do likewise. And, you know, you can get yourself into trouble even doing things like that with the Bible, all right? And this is God's word. We believe that this is God's word. But even Bible roulette can really lead you in the wrong way when it comes to God's plan. And so this morning I want to share with you common mistakes, three common mistakes that people make a lot of times. And I want to start by reading a verse from James chapter 1, verse 5. I got ahead of myself. Proverbs 14 is where we want to start this morning. Proverbs 14. And this is an important verse that we all hear. It says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. All right? This is up on the screen, isn't it? Would you read this out loud with me, please? There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Now, we've probably all had these experiences in our lives where we have thought we were making the right decisions, but in the end, it led to some sort of destruction. If you're sitting in a chair this morning, obviously it hasn't killed you yet. But many of you have made choices that seemed right to you, but maybe you even came very close to death. It's because we need a wisdom that is so much higher than what is in my little pea brain, in your little pea brain. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Let me share with you three common mistakes, and you might find yourself in one of these three. The first one is this. If you're taking notes, there's note cards on your chairs. You can write this down. Number one, the first mistake many, many people make is that we don't ask God. We don't even bother to ask God what his plan is. James 1 verse 5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Now, I think this verse is great. Because it says if any of us needs a little bit of smarts, if we need help making a decision, what do? Ask God, and God gives generously without finding fault. In other words, it doesn't matter where you've been in your life, it doesn't matter what's in your past. If you need wisdom today, all you've got to do is ask, and God is going to give you that wisdom. It's an absolute rock-solid promise. Ask God. But so many of us go asking in any number of different places instead of asking God. You know, when I need to make a decision, one of the places I often go, first of all, is to my dad. My dad is one of the smartest people in the whole world. I absolutely respect him. Love my mom as well. When I call up on the phone, if I want to gossip, I call my mom. All right? If I need advice, I call my dad. You know? And that's just the way it kind of works in our family. And my dad's very smart, but you know what? My dad isn't God. And a lot of us consult our friends. Another person I consult is my wife. She's very, very wise, but she's not God. If I get sick, you know one of the first things that I do? I go to WebMD, all right? Anybody else on the internet trying to find a cure? The Bible says, ask God, right? Some people consult horoscopes or fortune cookies, those kinds of things. I remember from my youth, and some of you that are my age, you might remember those magic eight balls. You remember those things? I was kind of wishing I could find one to show you. Some of you younger ones maybe have never seen this, but those magic eight balls, you know, you'd shake it up and you'd ask it a question, should I ask Mary Ann out on a date? And you'd look into the magic eight ball and suddenly the message would appear that says, ask me again tomorrow. And you're like, oh. The magic eight ball. But the first mistake we make is that we don't go to God first. I've told you the story before about a time a number of years ago that I had an accident in a water slide park up in Edmonton, and I hit the bottom of the pool with my elbow and split my whole elbow open. And after it all healed, I developed a bone spur on the tip of my elbow. And let me tell you, if you've ever had a bone spur on your elbow, that's a terrible place. Every time I'd have a meal, I'd lean my elbow and go, oh, you know, it was terrible. And finally, after several months of suffering with this bone spur, I went to see a specialist, and he said, you know, you've got some options. You can just ignore it and hope it'll go away, or you can try to pad it somehow with little foam pads, or he said, you could have surgery. So Chris and I consulted, and we thought about it, and we weighed all the pros and cons, you know, like we talked about last week, and finally decided surgery is the way to go. And the day before I was supposed to go in and begin the process of having this bone spur surgically removed, I thought, you know, maybe I should pray about this with my small group. So the night before, I had a small group meeting, and I said, you know, I'm going to go in tomorrow. I'm going to have another consultation with the doctor. I'm going to have this bone spur surgically removed, but I'd like you all to just pray for me. And my small group laid hands on my elbow, just like we prayed for one another around here, and they prayed for that bone spur, and within a matter of days, it was completely dissolved, gone. I've never had another day of pain. But you know what? I almost missed it, right? Because I'm consulting everybody in the world, but I never even thought, and I've been walking with Jesus most of my life, you know? But it never even occurred to me to pray about a bone spur on my elbow. It's a mistake. It's a mistake not to ask God. James 4 and verse 2 says this. Listen to this. You do not have because you do not ask God. You do not have because you do not ask God. Let's try this fortune cookie thing again. Let's see if we can get better results. Somebody else, you've got a question, a decision you're trying to make, and you need some wisdom. Let's see what we can get out of the fortune cookies. You don't, well, then you're not going to want to ask the fortune cookies. Aubrey, what? Come up and help me, would you? I'm picking on Aubrey because we visited this week, and you've got big decisions to make in the next couple of years. Not immediate decisions, but what are you contemplating? What's one of your big questions?
I am in the process of deciding whether or not I'm moving to Asia next year.
All right, and what would you do in Asia?
I'd be teaching English at a university, and I'd be a full-time missionary.
Oh, that'd be cool. Yeah. But you need to know, don't
yes.
you? All right, let's see what the fortune cookies say.
Oh, my goodness.
Choose wisely. Let's see what this says. What's it say?
You should get a dog.
No. Doesn't say go to Asia? They eat dogs in Asia. Ooh. So somebody's saying, get a dog and take it with you. When we're seeking God's plan for our lives and we don't ask God, it's like trying to find God's will in a fortune cookie. It just really doesn't work very well. How's that fortune cookie taste, Aubrey? Better than the fortune?
Yes.
All right. Mistake number one is we don't ask God. Number two is this. Number two, a lot of times we rely too much on logic. We rely too much on logic. In Isaiah 55, God says this to his people. He says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. A lot of times when we try to just logically figure things out, We can miss what God's plan is for our life. There's lots of examples throughout the Bible, stories in which people were trying to logically figure it out. One of my favorites is in the life of Jesus. He was teaching one day, and the Gospels tell us that a group of 5,000 men gathered around Jesus to hear his teaching, all right? Now, when it says 5,000 men, that's not counting all the women and children. So in all likelihood, there were probably 10, 15, even possibly even 20,000 people listening to Jesus teach. And it got to be about lunchtime, and evidently they didn't have a donut and coffee break in Jesus's teaching time, all right? And so everybody was hungry, everybody's a little cranky, and the disciples are saying, Jesus, we need to feed these people. And do you remember what Jesus said? He said, you feed them. And the disciples were like, what's up with that, all right? You've got to be kidding. All we've got is this little bit of food. But Jesus said, you feed them, and then Jesus miraculously made it happen. Now, logically, it was ridiculous, completely ridiculous. But God says, my ways are higher than your ways. I see people making this mistake all the time, relying too much on logic. I don't even know how many friends that I've had who have made a decision to move to a new community based only upon getting a raise in their job. And so it appears that there's going to be more money if they move across the country or to the next state or even to the next town. And that's their only deciding factor is, am I going to make more money? And I've seen it happen again and again and again when people make decisions like that just based on money, that something happens. They go to this new job and they might have to work way longer hours, and then their marriage starts to deteriorate. They don't take good care of their children, or maybe that community costs way more to live than where they're living, and they start, you know, their financial situation worsens, whatever it is. But money does not equate the will of God. And that's one of the big things with logic, especially here as Americans, because we think that money solves everything, right? But it doesn't always solve everything. I've heard of people who have delayed having children until they can get everything just perfect. They want to make sure they have a house and they have an SUV, because you can't have children unless you have an SUV. It just doesn't work. And it's all about what they have and the stuff they have, and they ignore the fact that the Bible says children are a blessing from the Lord. And children are a blessing whether you have an SUV or not. But sometimes it doesn't make sense. So we rely too much on logic. Another area that trips us up is on this whole issue of stewardship. The Bible tells us that God gives us everything we have. Absolutely every dollar you make comes from the Lord, according to what the Bible teaches. And we get all grabby with that money, don't we? And we become disobedient because the Bible tells us that God generously allows us to hang on to 90% of that money, and he instructs us to give 10% of it in a tithe. 10%, that's all God asks. You can keep 90% of it. But we start doing the math, we rely on logic, and we work it out to say that can't possibly be God's will. God can't possibly be asking, do you know how much 10% is? I've got bills, and I've got a mortgage, and I've got this. I can't do it. And we rely on logic instead of understanding God's ways are higher than our ways. And we rely too much on logic. And I'll just throw this out to you. If you are struggling financially and you have not yet been obedient in giving to him 10% of your income, it's probably why you're struggling financially. It doesn't make sense logically. I don't get it. But there are dozens of people in our church family that would attest to it. And Chris and I have experienced in our life, the more we give, the more God gives us back. It just works that way. And it's not a sham. It's not a preacher telling a story to try to get more money. This is a biblical principle. It doesn't make logical sense, but it's God's way. It's God's way. This is what God says in Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Great promise that when we trust on whatever seems illogical, if God says it, I believe it, I'm going to do it. That's what it means to trust him. And when we do that, he makes our paths straight. Let's do this fortune cookie thing one more time. One more time. Kimiko, come on up. We got all girls this morning. Although Bill was the first loser in the fortune cookie thing. I didn't mean that insultingly. I just meant
Jeez Louise. Okay.
What's your big decision?
I'm trying to decide whether to switch my minor from Spanish to reading.
From Spanish to reading.
My major is elementary education. So.
Okay. And do you speak Spanish?
Un poco.
Un poco. We have a few Spanish speakers here. Have you been speaking Spanish to our Spanish speakers in the group?
Un poco.
Un poco. I think that means a little, right?
Yes.
Okay, and do you read?
Yes, but not as well. I feel like...
Not as well as you speak Spanish?
Well, no, I feel like I could... The whole thing's about teaching, and I feel like I could teach people to read better, you know? My whole motivation for doing Spanish was so that I could communicate with a Spanish-speaking child, and I feel like I've taken enough Spanish to be able to do that, so...
All right, well, choose a fortune cookie and see what God says through the fortune cookie.
Okay.
Choose wisely.
All
right, we've already got two get a dogs. Do you have faith for something different? What's it say?
Should move to Peru. No, one, get a dog.
Says I should get a dog.
Get a dog again. Do they all say get a dog?
I think they might.
You should get a dog. Who got these fortune cookies?
It's you.
Really?
It has a smiley face on it.
Oh, you should get a dog.
Doesn't
wow.
Look like a dog.
They all say you should get a dog. Well, I guess that just proves my point, doesn't it? That if we rely too much on logic, you don't want to eat that yummy fortune cookie?
I'm good. I got stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
All right.
Want to take those?
Sure, take those. Maybe somebody else will eat them. The point is, if you rely too much on logic, your likelihood of finding God's will is about as likely as finding God's will in a bowl of fortune cookies that all say the same thing. Or different things, whatever, right? So number one is we don't ask God. Number two is we rely too much on logic. Here's number three. This one is so common. It's happened to me. Number three is this. We hear what we want to hear. Has this ever happened to you? Tino, you're smiling really big. This must have happened to you. We hear what we want to hear. Here's a stunning verse in 2 Timothy. Listen to this. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. This is something that can happen to any one of us. We have these itching ears. We want to hear what we want to hear, and we don't necessarily have an openness to hear what God might be saying to us. We hear what we want to hear. One of the times that this happened to me most dramatically in my life was about a year after I had moved to Boise, Idaho. Last week I told you the story of how I made the transition to move to Boise after graduating from college. It's where I met my wife. It was a good thing. It was smart. It was God's will. After I'd been in this job for about a year, I was the music director in a very large church in Boise. And after I'd been there about a year, I figured out that this job wasn't everything that I'd expected it to be. And I was disappointed. I was frustrated. I'd made a lot of good relationships. I had met my wife. I didn't know she was going to be my wife. But I had good friends. I liked my boss. I liked what was happening in the church. But I had this thorn in my saddle. Is that right? A burr in my saddle. I had a burr in my saddle. This was a big burr. This was a tough thing, all right? After I took the job, I discovered that prior to me being the musical director in this big church, the person that had been in that position was the pastor's wife. And I found out once I got there that she was still very much involved and she wanted it done her way. And I was a 24-year-old artiste who wanted to create musical masterpieces of my own vision and my own making. And she and I clashed. We were like oil and water. And all the time we were in conflict. It came to a head on a Sunday morning, and the pastor had finished doing his teaching, and we came to the end. And, back in those days, it was still piano and organ kind of music and very somber. And as we always did, his wife went, and she would play the piano, and I would play the organ. And I don't remember what the conflict was, but it was something petty, like what song we were going to play. And we were sitting there, and I said, we'll do Amazing Grace. And she said, we'll do Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. And I said, it's Amazing Grace. And she said, Tis So Sweet. And so, you know, there were about 1,000 people in the congregation, this giant stage, big organ and piano, and we're sitting here in front of all these people having an argument, the pastor's praying, and my blood pressure is going through the roof. And we literally had this huge blow-up conflict on the stage at the end of a church service. And I'd had enough, and I'm sitting there playing the organ, thinking to myself, I've had it. It's not God's will for me to be in this position. I'm leaving. As soon as this service is over, I'm submitting my resignation. And that's exactly what I did. I marched into the pastor's office. Of course, his wife was already there. And I had not yet learned that if you're a staff member in a church, the last person you want to cross is the pastor's wife. And I walked in and I said, Pastor, I can no longer work in this church. And I said, I'm done, I'm quitting, I'm going to find something else to do. And he looked across his desk, he had this giant desk, and he looked across the desk and he said, Russ, have you prayed about that? And I had to say, well, no. But while I was playing the organ, I thought I'd heard, I thought I knew. What had happened? I had heard what I wanted to hear, right? And so I said, Pastor, I'll go home and I'll pray. And I was humble enough to say, I will go home and pray. And I did. And I'll tell you, there's been only a handful of times in my life when I have heard God speak so clearly that it was almost an audible voice. And it wasn't audible, but it was this clear. I heard God say this to my heart. He said, Russ, you will learn to submit. And you'll either learn it now or you'll learn it later. And so the next day I went to my pastor's office and I said, the Lord hasn't released me to leave yet. And so I stayed there. And that was God's plan for my life. And there were some things in terms of maturity and growing up. I learned how to submit. And I made a vow to the Lord that day. I will submit to that woman. I don't care what she says. I will do anything she says until you release me from this place. And I learned the spiritual discipline of submitting to another person. Powerful time in my life. Difficult time. But was it God's plan? Absolutely. Absolutely. This is where sometimes we hear what we want to hear, and this is when we need those boundaries that I talked about last week. We need to understand God's providential will and what he's up to in the world. We need to understand his moral will, that other boundary that helps us make good choices to stay in the sweet spot of God's will. When we understand those things, we'll understand that God is not going to contradict himself. Like, God isn't going to tell you, even if you want to hear it, God isn't going to tell you to move into your girlfriend's house because it's going to save you a little bit of money, okay? Because that contradicts his moral will. He's not going to tell you to put up your retirement and your firstborn child and your dog up as collateral on a house you can't afford, okay? Because that would violate God's will. Even though we want to hear those things, God isn't going to tell you to do something that is clearly contrary to his will, even though sometimes we hear what we want to hear. And so sometimes we make the mistake of not asking. Sometimes we make the mistake of what was number two? I lost it. Relying too much on logic. Sometimes we make the mistake of hearing what we want to hear. So what do we do? Let me give you 3 next steps and a promise. Okay? Next step number one is really obvious. If you're looking for God's plan, number one, ask him. Ask God. Spend some time praying and asking God. I had a conversation this week with a friend of mine that's having a hard time making some decisions, and she said to me that she found herself just shouting at God, and she looked at me and she said, is that okay? And I said, yes, it's okay. You know why it's okay? Because you're asking him, and God can handle your emotion. As long as you're reaching out to him, that's absolutely the right thing to do. Ask him. Number two, trust God. Instead of relying on your own logic and trying to figure it all out mentally, trust him. And that means then if you're going to trust him, you have to sometimes take steps of obedience, doing what he's asking you to do. And thirdly is this, you need to listen to God. Sometimes we ask, sometimes we say that we trust, but sometimes we just prefer to hear what we want to hear instead of really listening. And then here's the promise. The promise is, if you will ask, if you will trust, if you will listen, you will live in God's peace. You will live in God's peace. Why do I say that? Here's a couple of great passages from the Bible. Look at this one from Philippians 4. Do not be anxious about anything. What's that mean? Don't fret, don't worry, don't get all worked up about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, what? Present your requests to God. What's he saying? Pray about it. Pray all the time. Thing that's going on. And then here's the promise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a great promise? When we ask, when we trust, when we listen, we will live in God's peace. And here's one more, and I'll close with this one. In Job chapter 22, we read this. Stop quarreling with God. That's tough, huh? Anybody ever quarreled with God? I have. Yeah. Stop quarreling with God. If you agree with him, you will have peace at last, and things will go well for you. Great promise, huh? Great promise. Ask, trust, listen. Live in God's peace. Will you put your things aside and bow your heads in prayer this morning? Thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much. The Bible tells us that, Jesus, you came to earth as a man. You lived a life without ever making a mistake. You were perfect. You were sinless. And Jesus, when the time came, you offered your life as a substitute sacrifice for our sins. Lord, it's remarkable that you would do that. It defies logic that the creator of the universe would come to this place and offer himself as a sacrifice. It defies logic. But Lord, we celebrate and we sing and we sit before you this morning because we have embraced that truth. We believe that is true. And many of us in this room have put our faith in you and we're walking with you. We're reaching out to you. We're seeking guidance from you. But Lord, sometimes it's very difficult for us to decipher exactly what your will is. And there's sometimes, Lord, that because we make these mistakes, Lord, it's just like we're pulling fortune cookies out of a bowl. Lord, we need something more tangible to hold on to. And so, Jesus, this morning, we're reaching out to you and we're saying, Lord, give us your wisdom. Lord, help us to trust that you are all-powerful, that you are all-wise, and what your word says is reliable. And Lord, help us to hear your voice clearly rather than listening to the voices that play out in our heads. And Lord, I want to pray for every one of us in this room, Jesus, that you will flood us with your peace. Bring us your peace, Lord Jesus. And we want to walk with you. That's our prayer this morning. In your name. Amen. Vic is going to lead us in a great song, acknowledging that God is in control. Would you stand together and let's sing with her?